I am pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier at Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. And the message today is titled, What is Your Aim in Life?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Today, let's talk together about our aim in life. Are you zeroed in on your aim that God has given to you? Are you like an arrow shot from a bow by the Lord? I have here an arrow, and I thought of perhaps bringing my bow and notching it. Then I'd really wake you up, eh? Are you like an arrow, or are you sort of in your aim in life more scattered and distracted, sort of like confetti tossed into the air at a party that goes in every direction? Or are you, right out of God's quiver, an arrow shot straight and sure, flying and cutting through the air of this world and this life on a mission, on a task that God has given to you straight and sure like an arrow? Let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us about our aim in life as Christians, because we all can get distracted, sort of like that confetti going in every direction. We need to recalibrate, refocus on our aim that God has given to us, really zero it in all the time so that we do fly straight and sure as God would have us go, an arrow from the bow of God and drawn by the hand of Jesus Christ into the world and let go. So let's talk about that today, see what God would teach us for our refreshment and help in Christ. First of all, let's just consider this. Has God actually really given you your aim in life? A purpose for us all, and then the purpose for each one of us individually. Let's take a look and see if that's a great theme in Scripture or not. If we look over here, for example, at 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing. And he says to young Timothy, he says, you have observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life. So say with me, aim in life.
Aim in life.
So he says, look at what I'm doing and imitate me. If you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he says this, as for you, a man of God, shun all this, aim at righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, etc. So there's that word again, aim. Two times so far in these letters. If we go from there, let's turn over to 2 Timothy 2:22. He says there in that passage, shun youthful passions and aim at righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those who call upon God from a pure heart. So there's the word again, aim, taking aim. And we'll just do one more, although there's a lot of places you could look, but 2 Timothy 2, this is verse 4, take your share of suffering as a good soldier of Christ, Timothy. He says, no soldier on service gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to satisfy the one who enlisted him. So we're not to be like confetti, or you know, when you ever, I don't know if you've ever seen the dandelions when they're young, and you kind of blow at them, and they all look like parachutes flying off and going in every direction in the wind. Is that what we look like as Christians? We're all scattered in every way? Or are we indeed that arrow firing straight and sure on a very sincere, God-given purpose? That's what God is saying so far in these scriptures. And look at Paul's life. Look at how he lived it out. He says in Philippians 3, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Does that sound like an arrow to you? In 1 Colossians 1, he says, for this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me. He's shooting straight and sure. In Acts chapter 20, one more, he says, I don't account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And so if you're thinking about Paul, would this be a good image for him? And everything, he's pressing on toward the goal for the prize with every energy to accomplish the task that God has given for him to do. How about you? Are you also so gifted to have a purpose and a task given to you by the Lord, an aim in life? Well, absolutely. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 next. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, I'm dyslexic, I turned it upside down, right? Comes over here. He says, so whether we're at home or away, in other words, whether we're in our bodies or we're departed this world to the Father, we make it our aim to please him. So where should this arrow be directed? Or where is it directed from? The Lord. We're aiming to please him. That's where our aim is. And it's also outwardly to each other to extend his kingdom. Because we read in verse 15, Christ died for all, that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So if you think about the aim in life that people have in the world, where are they aiming in their lives? Pretty much the world that we're living in, people aim at their passions, whatever tantalizes their senses, whatever delights and pleases the eyes, and any direction that they feel like going, they'll go. They'll shoot in all kinds of directions. Some will go after adventure in life, or romance, right? Or some people go after making their worldly empire so that they'll build up possessions so that they're king in their own little castle, whatever it is. People have all kinds of purposes that they have. But what about you? As a Christian, born again, a saint, an inheritor of the kingdom to come, Christ died for us that we live no longer for ourselves, for our own passions and pleasures, but we live for the sake of the King who came and died for us. Isn't that fitting? I mean, think about this. God is the king over his kingdom. And because he loved you, and when we were prisoners of darkness, captured by the evil one and in a dungeon of death heading for eternal damnation, the king, and this is the truth, left his royal throne on high, came down, born, and lived in this filthy world with us in order to conquer, to come on a mission, like an arrow sent by God to destroy the evil one, to set us free, to die on the cross, to give us forgiveness and salvation, to make us to be born again, and then that we might live a new life. And so if Christ did all these things for us, friends, and gave and shed his blood for us, is it not fitting that we also should give and shed our blood for him and live now for the sake of the one who died for you? So if he is the king, and we are serving king and country, namely king and his kingdom, what's that make you? Good image would be a knight in shining armor. And I'm not just making that up on my own, because that's what the scripture says you are, born in Christ. Look at this. 2 Corinthians 10 says, though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war, for the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. You're a knight on a quest, on a mission, on a task to give glory to your king and to extend his kingdom. For we have weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Cast off the works of darkness, says Paul, and put upon yourselves the armor of light. Now, if that's shining armor, if that's not shining armor, I don't know what is. The armor of light. Put on the whole armor of God, says Paul, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Fight the good fight of the faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So, what is our overarching aim in life as God's people? We are a brotherhood of knights, and this is our aim, to serve King, bring glory to him, know him, and then to extend his kingdom, namely to love other people, to show kindness, live in honor, royalty, a noble life of caring for others and doing good wherever we can possibly do it. So again, we're in this very different from the world, aren't we? We've got to be careful to zero and recalibrate ourselves back to the aim God has given to us all the time. Because myself included, we get distracted. The world we're living in goes after all these different aims. God says, but as for you, focus again on the aim that I've given to you. And in short, it's on our sign over there, to know Christ and then to make him known. If it goes beyond that, we're really not much interested. It's to know Christ and to make Christ known. Is that your aim in life? Let's recalibrate on that one. So how about us specifically? That's our overarching aim as Christians, but do you have a special task, a purpose that God's given to you and you alone to accomplish in his army of his people, a mission given to you alone? Well, this is the great news. I mean, God has an aim and a purpose for each of us, specific to ourselves. And that's super exciting. If you look over here at Paul in Galatians 1, he says that God set me apart before I was born in order that I might preach him to the Gentiles. So he had a God-given mission from on high. An arrow he was, notched and sent by God for that purpose. Then he says when he went up to Jerusalem to talk with Peter and the others about making sure that the gospel he was preaching was the gospel that they preached. And he says, when they perceived the grace that was given to me, James and Peter and John gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go, watch this, to the Gentiles, and they should go to the circumcised. Only they'd have us remember the poor, which very thing I was eager to do. So did they have different missions? Amen? Paul to the Gentiles, Peter to the Jews, same mission, same team, different tasks. You know, if you're playing football, there's one who's a quarterback, then you got a linebacker, then you got a receiver, all these different positions. Each person has to do their task, not everybody else's task. What if everybody were a quarterback or everybody were a kicker? Then you'd be in real trouble, right? So we all have different tasks. Paul says, to each of us is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So one person, he says, through the Spirit has the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are inspired by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. In other words, to every individual one of you, God has given special tasks, special missions, special purposes, but we've got to aim at them in our lives to accomplish them. So how can you tell what your specific mission is from God, aim and purpose? Well, consider this. What are your gifts? What are you good at? And what has God laid on your heart to do? For example, Dan, he loves music and he's skilled at it, so God appointed him to lead us in music. I wanted to preach Jesus Christ and his word publicly, so God made me a pastor. Colette, where are you? She's friendly, and she's a great cook, so she got appointed to lead in fellowship. Neil and Vivian love the garden, so God appointed them to watch over our grounds. Karen and Denny love to feed the poor. They're leading in the food bank ministry. And Cheryl, well, she can't stand taking care of finances, but we made her do it anyway. But no, you know, she does a great job. I'm just joking here. But, you know, that brings up a good point I'd like to share with us about our aim in life, and what God wants us to do is not always what we feel like doing. That's the world. They just go after whatever they feel like doing. I'll fly this way today and that way tomorrow, wherever the whim of my fancy would take me. But as a Christian, you're a knight. You're on a quest, and it's not an easy task. We fight the good fight of the faith. And sometimes it's hard what we are called to do. So, yes, we enjoy it. It's a great adventure, but it's not always easy or what we would choose to do. I think about when I was choosing to become a pastor, I was captaining, as you guys know, most of you know, up a schooner up in Maine, sailing. That's pretty good life, you know? I was out in the outdoors and the fresh air and the wind and the seals and the porpoises and the islands. And when I met people, I only knew them for 2 hours and said, bye, have a nice life. Very easy. I thought of being a pastor, though, because I'm like, I'm only here for a little while. How can I use whatever I have to serve King and kingdom? I thought, well, maybe I should look into being a pastor. Well, I did, and I was studying, and I was at a chaplain at a hospital for the next summer after I sailed. So I sailed one summer with fresh sea breezes. The next summer, I was in a hospital with kind of not so nice smells. People that were in pain, that were some of them dying, to deliver to them the word of God. And after that summer, I went to dinner with my parents, and my dad said, so son, which of the summers did you like better? Sailing as a captain or chaplaining as in a hospital? I remember this was so revelatory to me. My answer, really from the Lord, I was like, you know, Dad, last summer I actually enjoyed a lot more. It was really fun. But this one I believed in more. And that's the route I want to go, what I believe in. And you know what? That's made all the difference. It's been actually great. And God rewards it. It is a grand adventure. You know, if I had stayed up there, I would have had nothing of the greatness of the life that God's given to me. My point is, it's not always necessarily what's fun or easy, but it's what we believe in, what we're called to do, to go forward as knights, as a shooting arrow from the hand of God, shot on the bowstring of Christ by the finger of the Lord, into whatever he's given to us to do. And that's a beautiful life that he leads us into. Now, you know, I used to be like 2 hours, hi, bye, nice, have a nice life. Now I'm with you, thick and thin, through good and bad, and I love it. It's a far greater, far nobler, far better life and adventure, and I love being with you. So God's great how he leads us. So go after not just what's easy, but where God is pointing, what you believe in. So what is God calling you to, though? How can you find your calling and zero in on it? Well, I already believe you are living your aim, but you know what? We constantly have to recalibrate, refocus, and every day God has new tasks. So we need to go after things with fresh zeal and be ready for new stuff every day. So what can you do to find your God-given purpose and aim today and tomorrow and the next day? Well, here's one thing. Pray to God and ask, what would you have me do in this present life situation that I might honor my King and extend your kingdom, God, today? And see what might be given to you in prayer. I remember when I was in the ELCA years ago for a while, a different Lutheran church, a liberal one, for a while I was at the seminary there, and I heard atrocious teaching, really. It was so troubling to my soul. They were teaching that the Bible had errors and was just a work of man and things that were just very tough to take. And I was like, God, what's my purpose here in this place? I mean, this is like I'm surrounded by enemies. And I prayed one day. I remember on my bed and I prayed, what can I do here, God? And instantly came to me on that bed, just a picture. Put words of scripture on the doors of all the buildings of the seminary. You know, to put the word of God before them. I was like, hey, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that. And you know what changed me? All of a sudden I have a purpose there. I have a drive, an aim to do something. And it actually turned a tough situation into an adventure. And I went to the president of the seminary and said, hey, I'd like to put some scriptures on the doors. Would that be okay to, if I make it really nice calligraphy and put it on there, just to put it before the everybody? And even though he was a real super liberal, he was like, yeah, okay. So I did this, and of course, you know me, I chose these kinds of verses. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Amen. John 10, scripture cannot be broken. Acts chapter 4, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Well, how'd that go? Next day, I noticed they were all torn down and thrown away. So, I made some more and I put up more. Next day, they're torn down and thrown in the trash again, so I put up more. And I kept doing this, and I want to ask you, was that a defeat? No. Every time you step out to extend the God's kingdom and serve your king, it is a win and it's a victory, because God's word never returns to him void, but accomplishes what he purposes and prospers in the thing for which he sends it. And actually, I saw fruit in some of the people on account of it. But my point is, pray to God and he'll give it to you, and it is so exciting. It turns your life into not the doldrums, but a fresh breeze of adventure. It's a great thing. So you can pray. Secondly, there's another thing, would be to plan some good that you might do by just sitting down and writing it off the top of your head. What comes to you, the Spirit leading, of course. For Proverbs 12, let's read that one. Verse 20 says this. Says, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan good have joy. So you can just say, hey, how am I going to aim today for the Lord? What can I do? Well, let's just sit down and write out some ideas. When I was in my 20s, I did this because when I was between ships, I had a lot of spare time. Oh, to have spare time today. But then I did. And I wrote down things like, hey, I could canoe over to that deserted island over there and clean up all the trash one day. Or I could write a letter to my grandparents and tell them how much I love them. Or I could go to a nursing home and ask for the loneliest person and try to cheer them up. And I wrote these down, and guess what? I did all of them because they were on a list God gave me. I did them. And I'll just share with you, when I went to the nursing home, I went to the activities director and I said, give me your loneliest person. I'll see if I can cheer him up. The lady said, well, I got the grumpiest person, and you can do your best, but pretty much no one likes him. He's mean to everybody, but see what you can do. Well, I went in and talked to this guy, and he was like, suspicious, why do you want to talk with me? Because I'm mean to everybody, grumpy old man. Well, we got to be friends. We enjoyed our conversations. One day I came in and he was furious. He's like, Greg, someone came in yesterday, a Methodist minister, and told me that I'm going to hell unless I believe in Jesus Christ. Can you believe that? I'm so angry at that guy. I'm like, well, he's telling you the truth. So, sort of like the Methodist minister was God's version of the bad cop, and then I came in as the good cop. He rattled them up, I smoothed them over, but on the same team with the gospel. And you know what? Because of our friendship, because I'd planned it and we got to be friends, he listened. And he came to Jesus Christ for salvation. Shortly thereafter, I went up to Maine, and about a month later, he called me, and this is shortly before he died. He said, Greg, I gotta thank you. I don't know what happened to me. I've always been mean. But I'm actually being nice to everybody, and the nurses don't know what's going on. And I actually have joy in my heart. Thank you for leading me to Jesus, sharing him with me. And not long after that, he went home to glory. But again, it's because I wrote down, hey, here's some things I could do. The Spirit leading did it, and it's so true. Indeed, Proverbs says, those who plan good have joy. So there's another idea. And go after it, though, intentionally. Don't just drift through life. Be an arrow shot from a bow. You can do it. Train yourself for it. God doing it in you. And thirdly, think about this one. Be open. Train your eyes to look for opportunities that are everywhere about you that God will lead you into, which he's made ready in advance for you to walk into, which is your aim and purpose. If you do, but aim at it to have your eyes ready, you'll be ready to walk in it and really go along for the ride. Do you know that a lot of Christian ministry is just like that? Basically, Christ, when he came, didn't plan out his day. He didn't have a list. He didn't have a schedule so much. He did what he did, and then God led him into the deeds that he had for him to do. If you look at the Good Samaritan, when he came across a man on the road. Do you think he planned that? He was just walking on the road to Jericho, and here he finds a man next to him who was beaten, left half dead. The priest and the Levite, their eyes were closed to the opportunity to serve, and so they missed the whole thing. But the Samaritan was looking for a way to serve God and country, his kingdom, and he ran to the man when it was the opportunity there, and he blessed the man by paying for his needs, by binding him up, by bringing him to the inn, and promising to pay whatever else needed to be paid for his welfare. And so he walked into what God had for him. What we need to do is train our eyes that wherever God leads us, we walk into it and we're ready for it. Because the Bible says, you know, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready in advance for us just simply to walk in to go along for the ride. Let God do the preparing. Your life isn't planned, but God's planned it. You just walk into it, and it's a beautiful, great adventure. In fact, that's what most of Christian ministry is just spontaneous, off-the-cuff, freewheeling, loving people, extending the kingdom where God opens the door. And the best example of all these things is our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he came, I'll tell you, with laser focus, like an arrow from God. For the Bible says, in the shadow of his hand he hid me away. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away till the proper time. You are my servant Israel, in whom I shall be glorified. And Jesus came with perfect purpose. He didn't get dissuaded. The devil said, go after the kingdoms of the world. Go after the glory. Go after the flesh. Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. One aim, one focus, God and people. For this I was born. For this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth, Jesus says. I came to seek and to save the lost. I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And he did. And he shot straight for that cross. He died for us there, accomplished your salvation, rose again and shot straight up to God. If anybody's an arrow, he's an arrow. But if he's the king, then you're his knights. Let's be arrows as well. For we are to live for the rest of the time, says Peter, no longer by our human passions, but rather by the will of God. And we live no longer for ourselves, says Paul, but for the King, for him who for our sake died and was raised. And when we seek the King and country, the King and his kingdom, God makes you the polished arrow, and he fires you straight through the world at a wonderful purpose, and you, by the Spirit, will hit the mark. God will make it happen, and that's great joy for you, and it's great joy for God. And very soon, we're going to hear the great voice of our King in heaven, exclaiming over us with great joy, well done, you good and faithful servants. You've been faithful over a little. Watch this. I set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What is Your Aim in Life? I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and we're covering the book of Revelation. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.